Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
In this podcast, chat about the win against Millwall, look ahead to Rotherham and answer your podcast questions. This is the Borough Breakdown podcast, and this is our Borough Match Day chatter in a pod.
Support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the air. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the trap.
Abanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Abanelli spots out.
Hello and welcome to the Borough Breakdown podcast with Johnny, Dana and Matt. And we are the Borough podcast that gives you all of your Borough Match Day chatter in a podcast. And Middlesbrough have moved up to ninth in the Championship table after a 3-1 win over Millwall. And what a week it's been. Win against Chelsea, win against Millwall. And we're still just 1 point off the playoff places. I don't know how after all the injuries we've had this season, but here we are. Guys, one key takeout from the week as always. Dana, would you like to go first?
Yeah, I think this week's just been a really good mentality from Borough. Carrick spoke about it after the game, about the spirit, and I kind of felt like the game yesterday, the win, was more than just the bog-standard league win. It felt, and it feels like there's something really good that's bubbling under at the moment, and it's probably born out of the Chelsea win. You know, when you have such an extreme high, I think it definitely can give you that feeling as a fan, but also credit to Borough because I know they're not fans like us and they probably don't experience those emotions quite on the scale of what we do. Even, you know, Hayden Hackney being a Borough fan, Dale Fry being a Borough fan, there's a certain level of detachment there. And I know that people say, well, footballers are athletes. They should be switched on for a game like yesterday's. But I remember after the Spurs win under Chris Wilder, we had a game against Luton afterwards, and that was a terrible game. It was flat. I think it was 1-0. Paddy Mignair scored from the spot. Atmosphere was flat. Everything about it was just felt like a hangover. And I think people might have thought that Borough were a little bit hungover yesterday given our start, but the way that we responded, especially to going a goal behind, I think was really, really good from us. So yeah, they were peppering us with crosses. We stood tall, we defended well. I think we still had our openings, we still looked a threat. And then once we went 1-1, it only looked like there was one team that was going to win that, and that was us.
Yeah, and you, Matt, how are you feeling after a whirlwind of a week? Obviously, you haven't been on the show post-Chelsea, so it'd be good to get your thoughts on that one as well.
Yeah, I felt hungover after the Chelsea game. I think quite a few people said the same, and I think even BBCT's tweeted something along the lines of, is everyone feeling hungover? And I did. I actually felt hungover after that game the day after. I just felt so physically and mentally drained by it, but it was obviously, I think, one of the best nights at the Riverside in years. It was absolutely amazing. As you know, Johnny, I think we lost our limbs numerous times and it was just absolutely amazing. But I think to follow that up with a win at the Den of all places is really, really good. And I think my key takeaway is just that there's lots of positives to come out of yesterday's win. I think it's not just, as you say, a bog standard win. I think it might look like that on paper, but Dana hit the nail on the head with the mentality point. I think it would have been easy for Borough to maybe go under it at the Den, especially going 1-0 down at such a hostile atmosphere. It probably was one of the toughest places to go after the high of such a win against Chelsea. So I think for the boys to come from a goal down and winning the way they did is a big positive. But as well as that, I looked at our team yesterday and for the first time, I felt reassured. I felt really comfortable. I looked at the bench and I just thought, wow. And this isn't even full strength. We've still got 4 or 5 out, you know, a couple away on internationals or whatever. And I just thought being able to take off Barlasser, bring on Hackney, bring on Crooks, take off Azaz, bring on Matt Clark, Force coming on. It was the first time in a long time I looked at Borough's squad and I thought, wow, okay, this is a squad that could seriously do damage. And if someone's not playing well, we can replace them with quality. And we saw that with Force and what he did yesterday. So I think there's lots and lots of positives coming out of the game yesterday. And it's just been a really, really good week.
Yeah, and I would echo that as well. Like, I would definitely say that the emotion I felt on Wednesday in that second half, mate, you were looking at me like, God, Johnny's lost his head.
I've never seen you like that at a game, honestly. You're normally so calm and cool and collected, but your head was in your hands for the whole second half. I was like, you're all right. You all right, Johnny?
Yeah, lost my head. Completely lost my head. But I think yesterday was really good as well. It's really positive, I think, to go down and to go on to win. It's just another bonus for us. And Dan, I know you're alluding there, but the mentality side of things. And we do talk about underlying numbers on this podcast and people hate it for me, but I think sometimes it comes good for it. I think sometimes you can kind of see it come good. Things are getting better and it's all set up now for Borough to lose against Rotherham at home, given that they haven't won in 30 away again. So there we go.
Absolutely.
We'll chat about Millwall then and keep the high coming, because, you know, a goal from my boy Lucas Engel for his first Borough goal. Zaire Jones and the returning Marcus Force, Dana, your favourite centre forward, of course, give Borough 3-1 Borough win at the Den. Dana, what was your overall assessment as well? Because it started off really difficult for Borough. They had to grow into the game and go on to win it. So what was your overall thoughts on it?
Yeah, it started really difficult because Millwall made it difficult. I think Borough fans were saying that we were abysmal, and I get it to a certain degree, but I would prefer to credit Millwall here because I thought they were really good. I thought they played some really good football. Billy Mitchell in particular really impressed me in the middle of their midfield. Proper classic Millwall name, that, isn't it? And I thought it was a real live wire, both in and out of possession, picked up some really good spaces, enabling Millwall to pass through us as they did. And I did think at one point, Jesus, everything that these are doing is really good quality. You know, that, as I said, they played some really, really good football and you could tell that they were increasing in confidence. I think they were unbeaten in their last 5 league games and they deserved their lead. I mean, I'm not surprised the way that we conceded that goal, because from a couple of corners before that, Borough were leaving men's spare around the edge of the box. So when Joe Bryan popped up with the volley and him being the spare man, I wasn't really surprised at that, to be honest. But in the second half, you know, the press that they were implementing, and I'll talk about it later when I discuss the equalising goal, it was still there, but it felt far less intimidating. And I think it was because they actually started the second half decently well. They had a lot of possession around the box, which resulted in a few openings, but thankfully for us they fell to Duncan Watmore, who's all fart no poo, unfortunately for him, or fortunately for Borough. And they look to have reacted to Joe Edwards' halftime team talk, but yeah, we talk about how goals change games. I think they really, really struggled after we went in front, and they just their performance plateaued after that, and Borough's just grew. And as I said on the takeout, when we went 1-1, it felt like Borough were just growing. We were still, like, even though people are saying that we were poor to start the game, we were still creating openings, because the way that they were pressing, they were leaving space in behind. Borough really exploited that with their forward players. So I think it was a game about space, about naivety, and about the old cliche of goals change games. And I think Borough deserved it in the end. It was a good team performance.
Yeah, Matt, what were your thoughts when Borough went 1-0 down? I'm guessing you were thinking, buddy, this is typical Borough. It's happened all over again. Crap, we're useless, all that kind of stuff. Do you think that was going through your mind when they went ahead?
I think it was, there was an aura of typical Borough about it. But I wasn't thinking we were bad as such. I was sort of taken aback a bit by how Millwall were playing, because I think we've all got this kind of stigma of what we think Millwall are like and how they play football. And I was quite impressed by them in the first 10-15 minutes. I mean, some of the way they were passing through the lines, I mean, some of the speed of it, the quick one-touch football, it was really, really good. And I had to keep checking the corner of the screen to make sure it said Millwall. I was like, what? Who's this? This is not Millwall. I mean, they started really, really well and did deserve their goal. Arguably missed a bit of a sitter to get a second from a corner, it has to be said. But I think it was clear after the first half an hour or so that they were running out of steam a little bit. I think their game plan was to try and, I think, catch Borough by surprise and maybe kill the game early. I think Joe Edwards said think it was post-game that he tried to go for the throat. I think he was quoted in saying, and I very much got that. And I feel like they had an opportunity early on to kill the game off and maybe have a two-goal advantage. They didn't. And once Borough equalised, I just feel like they ran out of steam a little bit. They had another brief spell at the start of the second half where I think they had a burst of energy, but they couldn't quite maintain it. So, yeah, I think we just hung on in there, got a really good equaliser at a very good time. And I think, yeah, once we got that equaliser, I always felt second half, the game was there for us as long as we took our chances. And, yeah, thankfully we did. So it wasn't quite typical Borough. It was actually quite the opposite for a change, which, yeah, is a good sign.
That Jake Cooper chance, to where it really should have been made 2-0. I mean, how he's allowed to cushion a volley pretty much uncontested about 5 yards out from a corner is interesting. But the fact that that hit the crossbar, Tom Glover might have got a touch on it. That was a big moment in the game, because if Borough go 2-0 down there, I don't know what you think, but I don't think we would have come back from that. I think we would have went for the game and tried to maybe attack it a little bit more. I mean, to be fair, we were still getting opportunities, but I don't think we would have won that game if Jake Cooper made it 2-0. So that was a really, really big game, a big moment in the game that I think Millwall left to rue that chance.
Yeah, and I do think the same on that as well. I think if they go 2-0 up, the game changes, their system changes. I think they go a bit more defensive and try and pack that midfield out, and they don't become as aggressive in the press. I think those early stages, probably seen it more on the goal kicks, really. And I think it's where Borough's goal does come from. And in terms of they would have the centre-forwards and then the midfielders who would press really high, go man for man. And it was the same, but it would leave a big space behind the midfield and the defence. And so when Borough were to play through, they could turn and go on and create a big chance. And, you know, for them in those early stages, they did make things difficult, and they were causing those overloads on the right-hand side. I think they were looking at Borough's system, looking at Greenwood, looking at Jones, noticing that there wasn't really much of a defensive cover, probably the best word to say, and they were able to double up on Engel, even 3-on-1 at Engel and Vandenberg at times, and it made it look really difficult. So I do feel for Engel at some point, because I know he's going to get killers, and I know I'm his number one fan, but I'll defend him, because it's just it's very difficult when you've got 3-on-1. It's the same for Aylin as well. Like when they did put the numbers on the wide areas, it's really difficult to defend against. Anyone who plays football will know that. But it's just for me, yeah, their press was really good, especially but I think it does have limitations, especially when you go man for man. A very easy thing for a team to do is just to keep moving on the pitch. Borough's front four, given that it's quite dynamic, and it will just pull people out of places. And that's where I think Borough found a lot of joy when it started to click. I think those early stages when people do go really high press for a very short period, it's very difficult to play against, but you can't do it for 90 minutes. I think you alluded to it as well on Twitter, Matt, around that, but yeah, they can't do it forever. And when they do tire out, you will fall apart, especially if you've gone man for man. But yeah, that space between the defence and midfield is really interesting for me on those goal kicks. And I know it kind of leads to Borough's first goal, Dana, in terms of, you know, getting that equaliser, because we could have been 2-0 down. We ended up pulling 1-1. And then the game was ours to take.
Yeah, I really like how this goal is constructed, actually. As you said there, Millwall were operating man for man in terms of their press. They had three different approaches within that from the three different players. So they had George Honeyman and Billy Mitchell. One would press up high to limit the distribution from our midfield two, and the other would sit off and protect. Nisbet was going man for man on one of Howson and Barlasser. But there was a naivety in that, I felt, because Borough would drop one of the forwards into that vacant space in the middle. In this case, in the build-up to the first goal, it was Sam Greenwood. It enabled the ball from defence, in this case actually Tom Glover, to bypass that press. And then Borough are immediately on the attack. And because Millwall have one of their double pivot height, the pitch, in this case it was George Honeyman, they were stretched. Borough could catch them on the break to enable that quick transition. Jones does really, really well. He plays Greenwood on the inside in the box. It's Joe Bryan that Greenwood makes the run off. And he delays the cross. I'm actually thinking, cross, do it now. And then he delays it. And it's a good thing he delays it, because there's a moment where Ryan Longman was somewhat half-tracking Lucas Engel, but he breaks off him to come in field to mark, I think it's Johnny Howson, and it enables that space for Lucas Engel to tuck the ball home. He couldn't really miss, to be honest, although, to be fair, with Borough, I wouldn't have been surprised if he did. But yeah, it all comes because of that press that Millwall were operating, how you had one of their midfield two really, really aggressive. They were squeezing up. They were trying to limit that output from Barlasser and Johnny Howson. One of them would man mark and then the other one would drop deep. And just because of the fact that they had one of their midfield two high up the pitch, it did leave space in behind. Because Borough have such fluidity up front, it really caught them out, Millwall. So I could see what they were doing. I just think they were a little bit maybe heavy-handed with it and they didn't have that protection necessarily, although they did have a deeper midfielder trying to protect in behind. So that space was really exploited from Borough, which I think was really impressive.
And on the aggressive press as well, I'm always intrigued why teams do it sometimes. I think that for a team like Borough, who do enjoy playing at the back, I would be quite happy to give our centre-backs the ball and just press in certain areas so you can keep your shape. I feel like I don't want to tell about Borough's like tactics here, but the aspect is like I would say you keep your defensive line still on the halfway line, you know, your midfield three, and then your midfield, whatever, and then your centre forward. But you really keep it compact so you nullify that middle space and stop Borough playing. But it's the same for other teams as well. Especially if you were to try and progress, you need to be really like be connected as a unit and don't leave too much space so you don't get put on these false transitions or whatever they're called these days. You know, the footballing world will do me for calling it a false transition, but it is kind of a transition, but it's not. It's weird. I don't know how to really say it, but you play through the lines and you're in, aren't you? Because then it feels like a transition. But anyway, that's for another time. Anyway, Lucas Engel, someone who has been on a redemption arc this season. You know, he came in with a lot of excitement. I think I fueled that excitement quite a lot on this podcast. And, you know, he didn't have a particularly strong start to life on Teesside. But are you guys surprised at how well he's turned things around? Matt, like, what do you think? Because he just looks like a completely different player now, right?
Yeah, it's really, really nice to see another redemption arc at Borough. Obviously, we had the Tubarak-Pom one last season. And I love it. I just love seeing a player go on this sort of journey from coming at the club and maybe not starting off well. And I do recall that Sheffield Wednesday game was just, I mean, it was the lowest of the low, wasn't it? And I remember looking at Lucas Engel and thinking, oh, what have we done here? Because it was a big position for us to fill, obviously. There was quite a bit of pressure replacing Ryan Giles. And the question was, can you even replace Ryan Giles? And I think we have. I think he maybe isn't as effective going forward in terms of his numbers, but I think he offers us more defensively. I think he's very, very solid going both ways. And I listened to his post-match interview, and despite the F-bomb, which I thought was also fantastic that he dropped, he's clearly been loving his time at the Borough. I really liked how he said that he was, maybe to start with, he was scared to fail. And I like seeing that vulnerability to footballers, because I think some fans just, especially when they're coming over from a new country, I think fans just expect them to just hit the ground running and they write them off quickly. And they just expect footballers to pick up a new style of play and instantly just be fantastic. And they give them stick, I think, too early on. So I really liked hearing that he opened up about how he struggled to start with and that he has grown into, you know, an absolutely amazing left back. And I'm really, really, really happy for him. I think it's a big tick in the box for Borough's recruitment team as well. He's our player, which is awesome. And I can't wait to see how he continues to develop. So I know you've had a bit of stick, Johnny. 5-star, is he not? Is he, you know? And I think time will tell if he is quite a 5-star, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was, because I'm absolutely delighted for him. And I really can't wait to see how he continues to develop as a Borough player. He's been a really, really great signing, I'd say.
Yeah, look, I got a bit excited on the 5-stars, but I'll take it. You know, I still think he's a really good sign. I'm just excited to see what he brings next season more than this season. So you've got like you've got 12 months under your belt. You've adjusted to life and you get a bit better and better. But I do think he has those, like you're saying there, Matt, I think he has those characteristics where he has a really good left foot in terms of passing and breaking through the line. It's really good and really accurate. His crossing is still decent as well. Defensively, look, I think he can be potentially suspect, but I think there's a common flaw. I think we were saying earlier off air, Dan, right around, there's a common current flaw in the system where our fullbacks will get exposed at times, just the way that we lob side players over. Greenwood, for me, like, he just comes too central too sometimes and it does my head in, but it's just that's for another time. Then on Lucas Engel, I mean, happy with his redemption arc. I mean, you love a redemption arc, you love a story, of course, as well. Mm-hmm. And this is just another story to the page of Dana supporting Millsborough Football Club, right?
It is. It's really good to see that because, yeah, there are fans that they're far too quick to be far too extreme in their opinions. And it goes both ways, actually. You know, when you see a player have a good debut and all of a sudden they're the best thing since sliced bread, and alternatively, when a player has a really bad debut, then they're the worst thing since Ryan shot against Brentford. And it's like, well, you can't write a player off. I mean, even now, you know, we're still, you know, Lucas Engel is not the finished product. He's still got some way to go to develop. And that's quite exciting because right now what we're seeing is we're seeing a player that has definitely grown. And I love that interview that Matt referenced there, the one on Tees, the one on the Borough website. Really good to, as Matt said, see that vulnerability. And yeah, the whole he was afraid of being a failure, like, we don't really hear that a lot from footballers. So that honesty was really appreciated. And I like that he's improved. I think we've got a good player there in Lucas Engel, who I think one of the commentators on the highlights said that he's becoming a little bit of a fan favourite. And I think we're seeing that because, yeah, I don't think I'm the only one that likes the story and likes the journey. All you want to see as a fan is players improve. And we've seen Lucas Engel improve tenfold. He's in a really good moment, really good spell at the moment, which is good to see.
Yeah, and we were, prior to the Ayling transfer, like the fifth youngest squad in the championship. And poor Luke, Ayling, Nick was a little bit older as a team. I think that the fact that we've got these young players like Morgan Rogers, who's like 21-year-old, 4-year deal, Engel, 4-year deal, and, you know, the signs we've brought in, all young players on longer contracts, really seeing that development, and also that we can spread the transfer fee out much more sustainable. And it's just, I think it's just becoming quite a nice feeling again. It has been for a couple of years. To be honest, we've been in like good moments, but I just feel like now that they're all our players, it makes things just a little bit more sweeter. I still think we might, probably will, maybe get one more loan maybe in this window, and then also probably get another permanent. But it's just I just think it's nice. We've got a really good foundation this year, and hopefully in the summer we can just get one or two players, bring them in, and just keep growing from there. But again, as Az is getting, he's still in his young, like really early 20s. It's just exciting. I'm just excited for it, and there's just so much development to go around. But I quickly just want to go back to the Millwall game. So we do talk about game state because, you know, when it went 1-1, I thought it was going to be one side that wins it and it'd be Borough. And I thought there was just so much to like. But it was at times, once we broke through the lines once, I think we're very, very good at keep breaking them time and time again. Because I think we work out for ourselves. And then once we've worked it out, we create plenty of chances. And it was really good for us to go ahead and, you know, a lovely ball from Azaz to get the ball forwards. And it was a really difficult header for the defender because he could only... I would try to leave it and just kind of just like go over my head because I thought Jones...
Got caught underneath it, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and he was caught a bit under two minds as well. I didn't think what he wanted to do, but I still thought Jones was going to miss. But it was... he went to score and I just thought they went really flat after that. And then... for Force to win it was a wonderful moment for him as well. And I'll come to Max Force in a moment, but the scenes down, it was absolutely electric when Borough went 2-1 up and then 3-1 up at the end, right?
Yeah, it's so funny because if you watch Jones's goal back to make it 2-1, there's a particular angle behind the goal where someone just throws their drink up in the air and then we don't see it again. And it's like, God, that pint must have been expensive, you know. We're in London, aren't we? And someone just chucks it in the air. Good old England style, watching England in the Euros or the World Cup. I just thought it was funny. Can we put the beer in the praising place?
Sure, we sure can. You know, it's for anyone to join. There to be honest, go. It could be anything or anyone.
Directly caught in the beer, come like straight back in. He just cracked on like nothing had happened. I mean, that'd have been class, wouldn't it?
We need to know who threw that. If anyone knows who threw that beer in the air, please let us know.
Any particular reason why? Just did we got to put him in the praiser place? Or...
We got to put a face to the action of the beer just ascending. The beer just keeps going up, and
I'm surprised it didn't just keep going.
Levitating
in orbit somewhere.
Yeah. With Britt Sommerlonger's penalty against Luton.
It's just reached the camera at Ashton Gate.
I need to choke my water.
Oh dear. Well, speaking of camera angles at Ashton Gate, Marcus Force returned to Borough's team yesterday. After months out, actually, I've missed him for him to come back, Matt, and then make such an impact. Firstly, how happy were you to see him? Secondly, how convenient was it for him to return, given that Corbyn and then Lattelaff are now out? And three, it opens up another opportunity for him as well to be that centre forward as well. So I'm assuming you're very happy to see Marcus Force again.
Yeah, it was the it was the icing on the cake, I guess you could say, after the performance yesterday. Obviously, seeing him on the bench was great. I wasn't certain he was going to come on, especially at 2-1. I thought, do we need him to come on? But when he did, seeing him play through the middle as well, I was like, okay, I'm liking this. This is what we've been kind of wanting to see. Yeah, the finish, pardon the pun, get that one out there, get it done. Right, there's the pun, it's gone. The finish was absolutely brilliant. And it is great to see a Borough centre forward just drilling that ball into the far corner. I mean, it was good work from Rodgers to bring it down and obviously play him in. But yeah, just to see him just get back on the pitch that sharp, finishing that well, putting it in the bottom corner, just reminded us all what Marcus Force can bring. And again, like I said earlier, it's just great to have that option after not having him for, what was it, middle of October. So, yeah, it's certainly made things interesting. It's gave Carrick another headache to the long list of headaches that he's got in various positions now, which are all good headaches to have. But, yeah, you've got to make the argument. You know, if Jones is nailed down in that position on the right-hand side, Lath's out. I think Corbyn can do a job every now and again. I think that there is an opportunity for Marcus Force to come in and start there. So I'm intrigued to see what Carrick does, how he looks at that and what he does going forward, and if he maybe puts Force up top at Rotherham next week. But yeah, to see him was just, it just was the icing on the cake, definitely.
Yeah, and Dana, you've been asking for this for months. So Marcus Force down the middle, it only adds fuel to the fire, doesn't it? And just, I'm assuming you want to see more of it, I guess.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, needs must. We've got no striker. So the answer to the question of who plays up front is literally right there and has been there the whole time. I remember saying it in the summer, like, why isn't he playing him there? And I'm glad that he, you know, came out after the game yesterday and said that Marcus can certainly play up front as well. He's done it enough. He's played a bit off the right for us, but he can definitely do it. He does finish his chances when he gets them as well. as he showed. He's a good finisher. It's a big goal for us. Yeah, it was a good goal, to be honest. The way that he cuts across it, you know, when you just feel confident that a player can finish when they strike a ball, that's me with Marcus Voss. I think so long as you give him opportunities, I think he'll put them away more times than not. And I remember, Johnny, when we spoke to Billy Gant from Brentford podcast Be Sorted, there's a video on our YouTube channel. I think we'll link it in the bio of this podcast. He spoke to us about Marcus Voss, and he said that in conversation with Brentford's director of football, Phil Giles, Giles mentioned that Voss was the best finisher at the club, bar none. And this was at the time where Benrahma was there, Bermo, Ollie Watkins. But he also did mention, Billy, that Force's all-round game wasn't quite up to par back then. So maybe that's why Carrick has held off on playing him there. Because I kind of feel like Carrick wants somebody that can do a little bit of everything. A striker that has a few strings to his bow. Someone that could get in behind. Someone that can drop deep and link the play. Someone that can poach. So, I mean, I'm describing the all-round striker there that is, you know, a bit of a golden ticket. But I think we've got a good one in Marcus Voss, and I would like to see him play through the middle as the number nine a lot more.
Yeah, and with these things as well, you can stumble across something as well. I know we've been asking for it, but if he does play centrally and bangs a couple of goals in against Rotherham, and he is very good at pressing defences down, like, it can kind of mould itself into him being the leader man. He contributes to a lot of goals, does Marcus Voss, especially on that right-hand side. And I do like him there because he can come into the back post and finish, and you know he's going to score, pardon the pun, for the finish. But for me, like, if he's in front of goal, I think 8 or 9 times out of 10, I think he does find the back then, or at least it's on target. So for me, yeah, I would like to see more of it in the coming weeks. But the final question I've got for you is for Millwall is about our debutants yesterday, Luke Ayling and Finn Azaz made the debuts for Borough. I just want to hear your thoughts on how you think they did, because Azaz obviously got the assist. I thought Ayling looked really comfortable. But Matt, what was your thoughts? Were you happy with Ayling and Finn Azaz being the 11?
Yeah, I was. I was a bit surprised that they both started. I think maybe not so much Ayling, because I think we need to have a natural right back there, but I was really, really impressed with the pair of them. I think Ayling took a bit of time to settle early doors, but once he did, I think he offered us a lot. I think he bombed on at times. He overlapped Jones when the time was right, which was really good. You can tell from what the guy said in the lowdown video that he does have like an incredible pair of lungs on him. He will run up and down that right-hand side. I think he's really, really good considering his age, I guess. The stamina he has going up and down the right. And I thought he was very, very solid defensively. And there was a nice balance there, I would say. And he obviously played the ball in field to Rodgers for our third goal as well. So I just thought Ayling contributed really, really well all round and grew into the game really nicely. And I think it's a very, very good signing. And I just loved watching Azaz. I think a bit like Barlasser, you know, when you look at a footballer on the pitch and they just sort of float around. They don't have to sprint. They don't have to bust a gut. They're just always in the right position, picking up space, and they just sort of glide with the ball. I was just watching Azaz and thinking he is going to be a really, really good footballer to watch in that number 10. And I mean, he should have had another assist. I mean, he played Rodgers in the first half, didn't he? And Rodgers put a left foot shot straight at the goalkeeper, which he probably should have done better with. So we're already seeing it in his first game. Azaz is already creating opportunities for us. So yeah, for me, again, it's great to see once again Borough recruitment getting more big ticks in that box. I think both of them look really, really good signings.
Yeah, for you, Dana, what was your thoughts before we round things off and go to podcast questions?
Yeah, really positive first introduction to them. I thought Ayling really, really grew into the game, and I think he really combined well with Jones, and there was a mutual benefit there, because you were mentioning earlier, Johnny, about our wide play out of possession. I think Jones gives you more defensive cover and help than what any player really does on the left-hand side, just given our system. So I think both of them helped each other out there. Our right-hand side definitely had mutual benefits there. So I think that Ayling was really good, and I would like to see more from Azaz. But even in the brief viewing that we saw of him yesterday, and I say brief because I don't think he got on the ball as much as I probably would have liked, but just a really classy player. And he could have scored as well. I'm pretty sure it was him that he almost glanced a header. I think it was just a little bit above him from a really good Greenwood clipped ball in, actually. So yeah, good from both of them. I don't think Azaz got the assist for that, by the way, but we'll give him it. Who cares about Opta? Borough breakdown stats are better. So we'll give him the assist. But yeah, really good from both of them.
Definitely. And look, I'm really happy with them both as well. Still too early to tell, I think, for any transfer to come good. But I was saying on the lowdown video with Valen, I just think it's a really sensible transfer. I know it's not going to set the world alight. And I know he's not called like Elinho and he's a wonder kid from Brazil. But I just think he's just good enough. He's weird, like a house in a way where he's just consistent, gets a job done, you don't have to talk about him too much. And I think that's what a really good footballer is, when you don't have to talk about him and bring them up. A really consistent player. And I hope we see more of it. I know the guys at All Stats, aren't we? Absolutely adore him. So I think everyone's happy that he's playing again. And you know, if he's fit, I think he nails that position down quite comfortably as well. But we'll see. But let's move on now. Let's move on to podcast questions. Yes, podcast questions. Every week you get the chance to ask us a question via email, theboroughbreakdown@hotmail.com, Twitter, Borough_breakdown, or by joining our Telegram chat with over 390 Borough fans, chatting everything but Borough. It's actually been really Borough focused over the last couple of days, given the wins and everything like that. So it's the most Borough conversation I've seen in a while. Well, the first question we've got from Chris, and it says, when everyone is fit, what does our back five, so like the keeper and the back four, look like? I can see you thinking about it as well, so I'll come to you in a moment. Dana, what do you think? And then I'm going to come to Matt as well. I'll get everyone's opinion on this one.
I'm going to go Dieng in goal. I know that Glover has been really good of late, and it's good that Glover has made people forget that Dieng is a good keeper within himself. It's kind of like, you know, on Toy Story where Andy just throws Woody into the toy box and he's like, I don't want to play with you anymore. It's very much like that. But Dieng is still a very good goalkeeper, and I think that he will eventually displace Tom Glover and return back between the sticks. I'd then put Engel left back, Vandenberg right centre half. I've gone with Clark left centre half, and then Tommy Smith right back. That's obviously with everyone being fit.
Okay. Matt, what are you going to go for?
I'd go Dieng as well. I have to. He's my guy. although Glover has obviously made people think, which is good. But yeah, for me, Dieng would still go in. Engel, Clark, I think because of the balance with his left foot on that side. I'm stuck between Fry and Rav. I think Rav's got a higher ceiling, but Fry's form's been really good. So go Dale Fry. But again, that's a good headache to have. And yeah, I'd still go Tommy Smith. If fully fit, I think just over Luke Ayling.
Yeah, and for me, I'm going to go with Dieng as well. I think Dieng is just, at the moment, gives me a little bit extra, but I would say Glover's been fantastic. Lucas Engel, left back, and this is an interesting one for centre-half because I think although Rav has been amazing this year, I think if you put Clark and Lenahan in centre-half...
Lenahan?
Oh my God, I forgot Lenahan.
I think Clark and Lenahan is probably your best pairing as a
That's
two.
That's so flat, isn't it?
And then I would probably say, if we wanted to put Rav into the team, I would probably say we go three centre-halves and put Rav as third centre-back, and then we put Jones at right wing-back to go as that. If not, I think Tommy Smith's very good. However, I could see Ayling, if he were to continually play at a really good standard, you could see him getting that spot as well. But it's good options to have, Don. And I don't know what the team yet. It's only Wednesday. A lot of options. That's how I'd go. I'd probably go over back five, I think, and really use the wing backs, because I think that unlocks more of Engel's potential as well as Jones as well. You know, formations is just a starting position, you know, football's fluid these days. But anyway, let's move on to the next question. It's from Lil, and they ask, what position would you say is the weakest? Where do we need to strengthen this transfer window? Matt, I can see you've already got the answer in front of you. I can just see it. It's in your eyes. What do you say is our weakest position, and where do you see us strengthening?
Centre forward.
Yeah.
Although, Force is definitely an option. Don, wanted to say that. I've never said it on the podcast before. That's one off the bucket list. Tick. Even though Force, I think, is definitely a fantastic option, I would still, if we could strengthen anywhere, I would say centre forward.
Okay, and then the final question as well. So it's from Zach, and he says, what's our best team with everybody fit? So this is a really difficult one again. because we do have options, Don. I'll go first while he's waiting. That's where you can have time to think about it. But I'll go Dieng and goal. I'll go with the back three of Vandenberg, Lenihan and Clark, and then I'll go with Engel and Jones as your wing backs. I would play a four in midfield, and I would be more of like a box, I would say, for now. I'd go with Hackney and Barlasser. I'd go with McGree and Azaz, and then I would go with probably Marcus Force up front, I would say. And I do love Morgan Rogers. I absolutely adore him to bits, but I think Azaz and Morale and McGree and that two creativity on strings, and you can bring Morgan on after 60 minutes and see the game up from there. But after, I'll go for. But Dana, what do you think? What's your best 11?
This is a really good question from Zach, and it's absolutely rock hard as well. I mean, my back four is different to what I actually said earlier, because you reminded both of us that Lenihan exists. So Dieng, Engel, Clark, Lenihan and Smith. Housen and Hackney in midfield. I think Hackney's a dead cert. He's one of the two dead certs in the team for me. Absolute shoe-ins. McGree on the left. He's another one of the shoe-ins. Zaz through the middle. I've gone Force on the right, only because we have not seen him for Borough through the middle, except for yesterday. So I don't know. On paper, it reads well to me. I haven't seen it, though. So, well, I have, but I haven't seen it in a big period. So I've gone Force on the right and then Latte Lath up front. But as I've said before, it's 6-2-3s on him and Corburn. You can mix and match formation-wise, but this is just in the Carrick 4-2-3-1 that we've seen. Yeah. I think that's maybe the best that we've got there. Well, I don't think it is, but that's my opinion anyway.
<Fair enough.
laughs> I don't have a clue, mate.
I know that's why I'm moving on to Matt now, just so you can joke. joking. Matt, what would you say your 11 is? And then we'll round off the praise in place.
I think I'd go with our usual 4-2-3-1 as well. Dieng, Engel, Clark, Lenihan. Forgot about him. Smith, midfield two, I'd probably say I'd go Hackney and Housen, I want to say.
It's really it's tough there. Because O'Brien as well.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, Lewis O'Brien. But then, no, O'Brien's not fit. So,
what a squad.
I mean, and he's also on loan, so it doesn't count. But if he was a permanent signing, I would definitely say Hackney and O'Brien's your best two.
But with they're two like, O'Brien's box-to-box and Hackney is, I wouldn't say, you know, ball carrier per se, or just a ball carrier. I think he's got more to him than that. But I just feel like those two might clash. With House and in there, you have somebody that I think has a nice, well-rounded, refined game in that he can just two-foot someone. He can leather someone into the orbit. And I think you kind of need that a little bit at times. But I don't know. Continue.
He does the dirty work, doesn't he? And he allows the other midfielder to... Yeah, Hackney, House and... McGree on the left, Azaz in the middle, Jones on the right, Force up front for me. But what a squad. What a squad we've got.
When it all comes together, you've got options. It's brilliant. But let's move on. Let's move on to the praise and place now. Yes, the praise and place. The only place I like to give praise to a Borough player, Coach Zach Member, the fans, the pint that got through in the air against Millwall. Tom, wherever he is, I'll just give him some praise. I actually don't know where he is today. I can't remember where he said he was doing. Matt's lovely hair routine and Dana's scarves behind her. So there we go. Plenty of praise to say this week. But who's in your praise and place, Dana? Well, who gets your position this week?
I've got two players in here. I'm going to get my controversial pick out of the way first. I'm going to put Sam Greenwood in there. When it comes to Sam Greenwood, there's a lot of conversation, and I've been a part of this conversation in regards to I want to see more from his performances. I actually thought that we saw more from him yesterday in possession. Out of possession, I think he still needs work. I hate those little fouls that he gives away that are so needless and just... they're kind of annoying. But in possession yesterday, that clipped ball that I mentioned earlier that Azaz almost got his head to was really, really good. I thought in terms of the positions that he was picking up, of course, he did set up the equaliser, but he started that move as well. I think he was very good in appreciating where the space was. And it wasn't a complete performance by him by any stretch, but it was better. It was more from him than what I've seen. And that's all I want to see, really. So if he could keep on that trajectory, I think that that would be good. But my main praise and place pick this week is Dale Fry. He has been excellent of late and people aren't mentioning it. Like, I know that Dale Fry has almost become lost in like the hype over Rob Vandenberg and Clark's return and Lenahan being a really good centre half, obviously prior to his injury. But Dale Fry is still a very good defender. Millwall peppered us with crosses yesterday, 27, and it felt like Dale Fry headed all of them out. Now, he didn't. He had four headed clearances in the game, but the most blocks, the most clearances. Whenever the ball was in a situation where it was a potential threat to us, Dale Fry was seemingly always there. He was marshalling that back line. I think he closed the space down really well. And it was a really strong defensive performance from Fry again. And I always feel like when he's tasked with defending against a Premier League side, as he was against Chelsea, he stands up to the test and then he continues that form into the league. So I thought he was man of the match yesterday for me. So I am going to give Dale Fry, for the second podcast in the row, my pick in the praise and place this week.
Congratulations to you, Dale. You'll get a badge coming in the post very soon. And Matt, who are you going to go for? Who's in your praise and place this week?
It's tough because it was more of a team performance, I would say, than any like standout individuals. But I agree regarding Dale Fry. I'd probably just put the centre-back pairing in there. I think they just defended the box really well. As Dana said, Millwall were absolutely chucking crosses in left, right and centre, and we were under pressure, especially early on. So I think they did really well in that period. And I'm just going to give it to Marcus Forss because it's good to see him back. And as we alluded to earlier in the podcast, for him to come on and finish in the way he did, I think was absolutely excellent. So, yeah, I'll put him in there.
Brilliant. And then for me, I'm going to go with Tom Glover. I think Glover's been fantastic since Dieng's been away. And also, I would say Mike Clark for being really solid since he's come back too from injury. He's always been a good defender, and I think we've just forgot about it because he hasn't been in the team for 12 months because of an injury. You know, he used to be a Premier League defender, he got Player of the Year for his previous club, and he's just a good player, just like a really good player, and we just forget about it. But then Hayden Hackney as well, you know, captaining your club for the first time against Aston Villa, that performance against Chelsea, and for him to come on as well, again, making us better. I think you just forget how good Hayden Hackney is when he comes on, the level just goes up. So they're my three. You'll all get badges in the post. And that'll round off the praise and place. But now let's move on to everyone's favourite part of the show, and it's trivia time. So each week we do give a bit of trivia for the team that Borough are going to play. So this week it's a Rotherham themed. Well, it's kind of Rotherham themed, but it could also be 70 other teams because Neil Warnock has managed us and Rotherham and every other club in the EFL. And the question is today, Neil Warnock has managed Borough and Rotherham, but which club did he have a higher win percentage at? I'll also give you a bonus point if you get the win percentage right as well. So do you have a higher win percentage at either Borough or Rotherham? And also, what was his win percentage at that club as well? So your time starts now. Time is up. Let's get your answers then. So, Matt, I'll come to you first. Who has a higher win percentage? Dana, stop trying to Google the answers.
I've spelt Rotherham wrong. That's what I have done. I'm sorting it out.
So, Matt, where do you have a higher win percentage and what was the win percentage he got?
Well, I don't have a pen, so I'm just going to say it. I think Rotherham. I just have a feeling to get Rotherham out of the predicament they were in, because it was, I recall, an unbelievable great escape. He would have probably had to have edged towards 2 points a game. I don't think he would have quite gotten 2 points per game, so I'm going to say Rotherham, and I'm going to say 1.8 points per game?
That's a very tough one for me to work out on top of my head. we've got a percentage at all. Have we got a percentage?
A percentage? What, of games that he won?
Yeah.
I think he won 45% of his of games at Rotherham.
Okay.
I think that equates to 1.8 points per game. I don't know, but yeah.
Nah, be something. I was like, God, he's making me work here, like quick maths.
I don't know why I thought points per game. I don't know why I thought that.
And Dana, what are you going to go for? What's going to be your answer?
Well, I've gone Rotherham, and I'm embarrassed that I spelt their name wrong. I put Rotherham, but to be fair, I'm from Middlesbrough. We drop the H's, don't we? And I've gone 41% on the win percentage.
Okay, so you were both right on Rotherham. He did have a high win percentage at Rotherham, but it was a lot closer than you think. He had a 38 win percent rate at Rotherham and a 37.5 for Middlesbrough. Of course, he did manage more games for Middlesbrough, but in that last calendar year, he had a win percentage of 20% on his time at Borough. So
I've got it here. 37.5 at Rotherham, 38.6 at Borough. Is that right?
Where have you got that? Because I have it.
Wikipedia.
What? Transfer Mark told me different. We'll agree to disagree. But anyway, we'll move on to Rotherham now. Because before the turn of the year, Matt, you went. You still haven't seen Borough win away from home in a while. We lost 1-0 to a courtesy of an XG of 0.07. Since then, you know, they might have picked up, they might not have. But we spoke to Matt from New York Talk to get their predictions for next Saturday.
Season so far has been not great. Look at the league table. That tells you all you need to know about our season so far. Moments of goodness, not brilliance or greatness, really. The start was okay, and then the mid-season's just been almost a disaster. Poor losses against average teams. Played well against the better teams, you know. We picked up a point against Ipswich and Leeds. Unlucky not to pick up something at Leicester at home. But then we go and lose 5-0 away at Watford and a couple of other results like that against teams who are sort of pondering around mid-table. So very, 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 very frustrating. You know, the first appeal was good. It was to beat you guys, picked up a point against Sunderland, picked up a point against Blackburn. And we're sort of thinking, well, this is, you know, it's a platform to build on. We were back within 7 points of safety after the New Year's Day games. And then we lost 1-0 Saturday to Stoke. Really, really poor performance. Stoke had the qualities and they played some pretty football, but we were just lacking in anything, any sort of ideas or aggression or positivity or anything that sort of resembles a positive way a football team should play. Obviously, we played you guys on Boxing Day and we won, but we should never really have won the game. Obviously, it was the nailed-on penalty that wasn't given. A few other chances. Keeper Aki was pulled off a couple of very good saves. So we all know how lucky that was. Even with the Rotherham hat on, we can see how lucky that win was. And that was our first win in 11 or 12 at the time. As things stand, we're going one way. As things stand, there's no way out of it. The January window's obviously open. We'll be 2 weeks into it. And we've had two first team players recalled, although one was injured, gone back to their parent club. And we've recalled one player who was out on loan, who has now missed the first game back because of injury or illness. There's no rumours that we as fans want four or five signings. You know, we need a couple of centre halves because we're really low in numbers. You always want a striker if you can get one. We need some wide players as well. Whether that comes in before the Middlesbrough, before we play you guys next week, I don't know. Whether it comes in at all, I don't know. Ron's budget is quite well known. It's one of the lowest budgets in the league, so we have to wait for everybody else to do all their business first. But yeah, there's not much positivity surrounding the club at the moment. Bearing in mind, league only 8 points adrift now. So yeah, it's good fun being a Rotherham fan. The only positive is that obviously you've got the cup to think about. I think a few days after, so that might maybe you take your eyes off the ball a little bit in the league, which might benefit us, and hopefully we can nick something. I wouldn't be putting money on that. I wouldn't be putting money on us getting anything. And my prediction, if we're going to have a score prediction, probably go 2-1. We're not keeping a clean sheet. We don't create very much, so we might not even get the one. Our away form is 30 games without a win away from home, I think. So that's the kind of team you're coming up against with that such poor form away from home, especially away from home. So yeah, predict a 2-1 Borough win.
So thank you very much, Matt, that you went 30 games away from home. Oh, screams 1-0, brother, I'm done it. Absolutely screams it. And just on the trivia as well, I've been searching it whilst Matt was talking to us there, and there's three different percentages knocking about Neil Warnock here. Some saying that he's got more win percentage at Middlesbrough, some at Rotherham. I have no idea. I'm just going to say it's a tie. So everyone's, it's twice in a row I've been done that by that. So it's going to, you know, I'm going to have to move away from this type of trivia. Thank God we're not earning, we're not making money on that one. So predictions for the game against Rotherham. Matt, what are you predicting? What's going to be the score?
I think I'm going to go positive. I think we should win comfortably given their away record. So I'm going to go 3-0 Borough.
3-0 Borough. Yeah. Matt, you can't enter the stadium. And Dana, what are you going to go for?
What's next to you?
I don't know.
Well, firstly, the Rotherham fan there sounded like Matt Crooks, so, and he was called Matt. So congratulations, Johnny, on getting Matt Crooks on the podcast.
It's okay. Anytime.
He's leaving Borough now.
Yeah, he probably is. Good old Borough breakdown curse. I'm going to go with 2-0 Middlesbrough. I'm not going to have a whole spiel about how Rotherham, well, what I said about Rotherham last time, I take all of that back because I feel like I assisted Borough's defeat saying that. So yeah, 2-0 Borough. But I don't think it's going to be as swashbuckling a victory as people may think.
Okay, then. And I'll go 2-0 Borough. I think we'll do enough. I think if we score early doors, it could be anything. But I think it's going to be a difficult game. First half now will be tight. Won't be able to break them down. But I think it'll just be a moment of quality. And then that's where hopefully Borough will go on to thrive. And once we unlock them once, it'll be time and time again. Hopefully we get forward. But yeah, I'll go over 2-0 win. But guys, thank you very much for coming on. As always, and to the listeners and the viewers, thank you very much for watching and listening to us as well. Don't forget to give this video a thumbs up if you're on YouTube and subscribe to us. There is 42% of you that watch our videos each week and haven't subscribed yet. So please do subscribe because it's very annoying. And just say, and then for our listeners as well, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on your podcast provider as well. That helps get found, charted, and also help us get closer to hitting that gold award at the FCA's in the future as well. But for right now, Borough beat Millwall at the Den. And, you know, we're very, very close to the playoffs once again. Just please, can we just get in the playoffs? This has been the Borough Breakdown podcast. And that was like a Borough Match Day chat in a pod. Up the Borough Breakdown.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.